Well, good morning. Good morning. It's a joy to be with you today. If we've not met, my name's Lena, and I get the honor of being your Eastside Community Pastor. And I'll tell you, I'm not only your pastor, but I'm also a fellow parent for any of you in here who are moms and dads. I sent my kids off to school the last 2 weeks. It was my first grader's first day, and I snapped a quick picture of them. I did not prompt my other two. I didn't dress them for the photo. I just would like you to note Ellie, my middle child's eyeballs in this photo, and Madeline's hair. It looks like that every morning. Now, these are my three kids. I sent the girls off to preschool this week, too, so we got a more put-together photo. I'm not going to show you that one because it's not as... Oh, I am. There it is. See, they are cute. I do know how to do my daughter's hair. But that's a cute photo of them, and we just got done with all of the back-to-school shopping. Oh my goodness, that list is extensive, people. And I buy new water bottles for my kids every stinking year. And this year I said, it's my turn. I'm getting my own new water bottle, and so I got this beautiful new Owala. Isn't it just, ladies, can I get an amen, maybe? Yeah, mm-hmm. New school year for mom, which means I got a new water bottle and a new Bible because I realized I needed both this year. Now, in all seriousness, I bought this because I really am trying to drink more water. I'm trying to drink more water because as someone who I have a beverage in my hand just about all day long, I have to be honest and tell you it's not usually water. I wake up in the morning and I have a cup of coffee or three, and then I go throughout my day and I've got some sparkling water mixed in. Usually at lunchtime I have a Diet Coke or a Diet Dr. Pepper, which I prefer personally. And then I go through the rest of my day with a little bit more sparkling water, maybe something else to drink, sometimes wine at the end of the evening. And wouldn't you know it, even though I'm drinking all of this liquid, my body started to give me signs that I was dehydrated. How do you know this, Lena? Well, let me tell you. Not only did the dehydration come with some headaches and cracked lips, but did you know that your feet crack when you don't drink enough water? I've got a picture to show. Just kidding, I don't. You don't need to see it. It's gross, all right? It's gross and it's painful. And so I realized I have to change some habits here. And so I've been drinking more water from this, but I'm still the drink gremlin with my hot coffee cup, my cold coffee cup, my water, and this is just a little extra for something later. You might have come in here today and you might be someone who feels totally refreshed and you feel like you've got plenty of water in your life. You might be someone and you've come in today, you feel like this empty cup, depleted and dehydrated. I think today God wants to meet you wherever you are. So before we do anything else, let me pray. God, I just ask that you would speak to us all in a language we can understand today. I pray that you would be honored and glorified. I pray that you would refresh us and refill us. And God, we just want an encounter with you today. So would you give that to us in the name of Jesus? Amen. Well, I've got to tell you, most of my life, actually, I've gone around with a cup that doesn't feel empty. It actually feels too full, because I'm someone who doesn't like to feel empty. I want to feel full. And so I'd stuff my cup with all kinds of good things on their own. Things like trips and vacations to look forward to, things like good work and good jobs and promotions, things like a resume that looks great with the right roles at the right time, with the boards and all the things on it. It looks like having memories that are made with my kids that I work so hard to do that they don't even enjoy, but I do them for the memory that will go in the cup. I love a little good competition because I like to win. So I'm a tennis player. I've played tennis most of my life. Recently, pickleball. I don't know how we've gone so many years without knowing pickleball was a sport. It's all of a sudden come out of the woodwork, and I'll tell you, if you haven't played yet, you should. It's like volleyball meets ping pong meets tennis. It's spectacular. And so I will fill my cup with all these things that on their own are really good. But when my cup is overflowing and full with these things that in themselves aren't bad, I'm still left feeling overwhelmed, exhausted, anxious, and somehow empty. And I lived most of my life like this, actually, filling my cup to the top as much as I could. And I do it really for two reasons. Because one, I wanted to do things on my own strength and prove that I could do it. I had a fear of failing. And the second reason is because I wanted to make the people around me happy. You might call it people pleasing. I would fall into these traps of going back to the dry wells of performance and people pleasing, of doing it on my own strength and making everyone else around me happy. And it was leaving me exhausted and overwhelmed and honestly feeling empty. And today, I want you, whether you've got an empty cup or you've got a cup that's overflowing and feeling exhausting to you, I want you to be filled with the living water of Jesus the way that I've experienced. But first, we're going to go backwards, and I want to talk about a guy who you might know. You've probably heard his name. Even if you've not grown up in church or even if you're not in a relationship with God or Jesus, you might have heard of a man named Moses. You've heard of him because we tell his stories all the time, even in culture. He's the guy who was a baby who came floating down the river in a basket and somehow survived that. He's the guy who went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." He's known as the Prince of Egypt, who rescued a whole nation out of slavery, the 10 plagues of the water turning to blood. And that was this guy, Moses. Moses is the guy who in the desert sees God and hears his voice in a burning bush, a bush that's on fire but is not consumed, and he hears God's voice. He's the guy who goes up to the mountain and gets the 10 commandments for us, for all people, like things like do not murder and do not commit adultery. Those came from God to Moses on the 10 commandments on stone. He's a guy who's known as being a hero of the faith. A guy who saw and did miracles. He's a guy who we look up to and remember as one being strong and good and godly. And he's a guy who wandered in the desert for 40 years. Now, I want to take you back to a story of Moses when he's in the desert that comes from the book of Numbers. And what's basically happened here is he's with a whole big group of people, the Israelites. They've been wandering in the desert, and they are thirsty. I mean, they are quite literally parched. They're thirsty. And so they go to Moses, and they're like, "Man, please, can you help us? We're dying here. Get us some water. Can't you do anything for us? Please help us." And that's where I want to pick up in reading from Numbers 20, and here's what it says. Moses and Aaron turned away from the people and went to the entrance of the tabernacle, where they fell face down on the ground. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to them, and the Lord said to Moses, "You and Aaron must take the staff and assemble the entire community. As the people watch, speak to the rock over there, and it will pour out its water. You will provide enough water from the rock to satisfy the whole community and their livestock." God says, "Listen, I hear you. I got it. You're thirsty. I'm going to make a way for you. Just like I made a way for you when I split the sea for you to walk through it and get across and get into a place of freedom, I'm going to make a way. You just got to go over here. You got to speak to the rock. And out of the rock, water's going to come, and it's going to give water to all of your people and their animals, not just the people." And so, simple enough, right? Like, if God told you, just go speak to the rock and water, I'm going to do a miracle, water's going to come out, would you do it? Well, I'd try it, right? Probably, maybe. Okay, let's see what Moses does. So Moses did as he was told. Good job, Moses. He took the staff from the place where it was kept before the Lord. Then he and Aaron summoned the people to come and gather at the rock. "Listen, you rebels," he shouted. "Must we bring you water from this rock?" Then Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice with the staff, and water gushed out. So the entire community and their livestock drank their fill. Now, good news, the people got their water. Moses himself was probably pretty thirsty. He was in the desert with his people. So he's thirsty, they're thirsty. The water comes out. Not just for them, but the livestock too. What do you know? It worked. Except, did you notice what Moses didn't do? He hit the rock with his staff. He didn't speak to it. And even before that, Moses goes to the people and he says, "Ugh, must we do this for you again? Like, you people are always asking things of me, and fine, I'll do it, but God, come on. Can't you just get it?" He turns it around and he makes it happen. Let's see what God says about it. The last verse. "But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land I am giving them.'" In the moment, Moses and his people, they get their physical thirst quenched. They drink the water that actually does come out of the rock. But God says, "Listen, buddy, you didn't do what I asked you to do. You didn't trust me to just pour water out of the rock when you spoke it as I told you to. You did it on your own strength. And so, because you didn't trust me and because you didn't give me glory for it, you made it about you. You're going to stay in the desert." Moses never got out of the desert into the promised land. He freed the people, but he wandered in the desert with them, and he never got to the place of actually having his thirst quenched eternally. Moses never got to the place where he got to the land that was lush and full of life and full of hope and full of abundance, where God was present and with him and blessing him, and where he could drink and eat freely. He stayed in the desert for the rest of his life. I read this story this week and went, "Oh, this was me. This was me." Because what I see Moses doing here is doing something on his own strength to please the people, getting his physical needs met in the moment, but never getting to experience the fullness of what God had for him. If you feel like you're wandering in the desert today, if you've come in thirsty, I want you to know that God wants to meet you where you are. And I know that because I experienced it. It's really fun for me today being here on stage with you. There's quite a few of my friends in the room. Some of you, yes, and some who are especially here today. Austin, who leads worship with us, Jay Wade, who read Psalm 42 at the beginning of service for us, Nate, who's back in the sound booth, who mixes our sound for us week in and week out. All four of us started together with Crossroads in a little place called Bogart's. We started a church in a bar a decade ago. We did. It was a stinky, I don't know if you're clapping because you went there or because you like Bogart's. For those of you that haven't been there, it's like a rock pit. Oh, rock, that's a funny pun. Like a rock and roll pit, okay? Like, it was so sticky and so smelly that we would get two cans of Febreze each, and we'd separate 4 feet apart from each other, me, Austin, and Jay Wade. And we would, at 2 o'clock every Sunday, walk through the whole building like this, spraying Febreze to try to get the stench out of whatever happened the night before in that room. Because we wanted 18, 19, 20-year-olds who didn't know Jesus to meet him. We wanted young people in our city to come into relationship with a God who knows them, and we wanted them to have a spiritual home. And so it started at Bogart's. Now, it was cheap, it worked, the location was right because it was right by the University of Cincinnati. And I told you that I had spent most of my life filling this cup with all kinds of good things. So I went to UC, and I worked prior to Crossroads at GE, Luxottica, and P&G. Now you might go, "Lena, you're so young. How did you do that?" Well, I was in a co-op program at UC, and I got to work at all of those large companies over my college career. I got the full-time job that I wanted at Procter & Gamble. I had great friends. I had great vacations. I was making money. I had this cup full of things. And God told me, you need to take a break and you actually need to go and help people who are in college come to know me. And so I came to work for Crossroads for 1 year. 10 years later, I'm still here. Who knew? I came to work for Crossroads for 1 year, and that year was all to build up to creating a space for those college students and young people in Cincinnati to be part of the church. And so I had worked 16-hour days. I poured blood, sweat, and tears, quite literally, into creating an experience like this in a bar. And that opening Sunday, after all of the marketing, after all of the team building, after all of the ordering of supplies, it was the biggest project I had done. And I didn't know if 30 people were going to show up or 330 people were going to show up. And so I'm walking backstage to go up the steps to come stand on stage and welcome people. And as I'm walking on the steps, it was like I got overwhelmed with the presence of God, where all of a sudden my heart started beating really fast and my body felt really weak. And I was getting these thoughts that felt like the Lord's voice speaking to me. And I went down on my knees. I went down onto my knees on the steps, and I realized that even doing good work in the church and for God's people, I had made it something that was about my own strength, and was about pleasing people, giving the people what they needed. And I was missing out on trusting God, and I was missing out on receiving the goodness that he had, because I was making it about me and not about him. And so I kneeled on these steps and I just said, God, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I need this to be about you. This is about you. It's not about me. I didn't want to look like an idiot. I wanted this to work. I want people to know you. But I think I did a lot of this my own way. So, Holy Spirit, would you fill me? God, would you forgive me? I want the rest of this night and this work to be about you. I got up and I walked on stage, and the next day I realized I have to do some things differently. Not because I needed to work to get to God, but because he was telling me that I needed to stop filling my cup, filling my soul on my own strength and for the sake of other people. And I needed to let him fill me as the one who provides living water. And so I'd wake up before the sun would get up, and I had this big purple velvet chair that was in the corner of my bedroom in my apartment on Gilbert Avenue. And I would wake up, I'd light my volcano candle in the dark, and I'd sit there and I would say, God, this day is yours, it's not mine. I don't know how I'm going to do what's in front of me. I need you to tell me, and I need you to do it, and I'm gonna give you all the glory for it. And that was my daily prayer over and over and over again. See, I realized that my thirst in the moment could be quenched by God in all kinds of different ways. And I could actually do really good work, really close to what he told me to do in the first place, that would bless people and help people. But I didn't want to miss out on the promised land. I didn't want to miss out on getting to a place where I was actually full of the hope and the presence of God on a daily basis, the way that we see Moses missed out on. What I think is really interesting is when we look back on this story of Moses and the rock and the water, it was quite literal back then. A rock, water, people needed their thirst quenched. But I think the spiritual significance might be even more powerful for you and me today. Did you know that God is referred to in the Bible 12 times as the rock? Psalm 62:1 says this, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." Maybe the story of Moses wasn't just about that moment in time and us seeing how Moses could have done things differently. Maybe it's for us today to realize that today's the day that we need to actually speak to the rock. That we need to talk to God to actually see the water flow out of the rock. Now, here's the other crazy part. It's not just that God's the rock, but Jesus refers to himself as the living water. I read to you earlier in this service from John 7, where Jesus says, "I am the living water." John 4:14 says this, but Jesus says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in a well of water springing up to eternal life." See, when we speak to God and trust that he's going to hear us and do it, we actually get the living water of Jesus that comes right from God and into our souls. Into our souls to quench our thirst right here in the moment, but also it's a kind of quenching of our thirst that never leaves. Jesus was the Son of God who lived a perfect life. He lived a life where he taught and he did miracles and he did incredible things on the earth to point people to a new way of living and to know God better. And he went onto a cross and died an unjust death, where 3 days later, he came back to life to prove that God is a God of miracles and he is a God who is true. True to his word and true in the way that he loves you and me. And so we have access to God the Father for eternity because of who Jesus is and what he did. And the way that we get refreshed, the way that our soul gets filled, the way that our empty cup gets filled up or our full cup gets dumped out and filled back up is when we speak to the rock, we talk to God, and we ask for the living water to flow out of him and into us. Some of us today, that's where we need to start. We need to talk to God and we need to ask for Jesus. Some of us have asked for Jesus before. We've received Jesus. We have the living water in us. And God's actually quenching our thirst right now in little moments, day by day. But there's more for you and for me. Because God doesn't just want to quench your thirst in the moments. He wants you to get into the promised land that is lush and abundant and full of life and hope and joy and love where he is. He wants you out of the desert. And to get out of the desert, it doesn't just take talking to the rock, but it takes trusting God and doing what he says. We've been in this series called Thirsty, and we've looked at the different ways that we go to all kinds of dry wells. Mine that I shared with you today, going to the dry well, being about my own strength and making people happy. We've talked also about the dry wells of pornography, of sex, the dry wells of comparison and social media. Maybe in the last few weeks, God has been prompting something in you and he's told you what to do to receive water and to get out of the desert, but you just haven't done it yet. Today could be the day that you make the choice to trust God and do what he says. There's a song that's been actually waking me up in the last couple of nights. I woke up in the middle of the night last night with this song in my head and I started singing it in the dark in my bed. It's called Motives. And it simply says the name of Jesus over and over again. It says Jesus. It's as simple as that. Jesus. There's two lines in the song that hit me hard the last few days. Jesus, is as simple as that. I'm taking me out of your praise. Jesus, it's as simple as that. What is my worship if it's lost in performance? I want to give you a moment to just speak the name of Jesus and for you to speak to the rock and ask for Jesus to flow in you and out of you, and for him to fill your dry wells this morning.